seduction, sex, lifestyle. For the true player at heart, Global SLR presents The Real Kings of Pickup. Vince Hollywood Kelvin and Arash Motherfucking Dibazar. Be the best and fuck the rest.
Gentlemen, welcome. This is a special edition of the Monday call. We are on Wednesday having the Monday call. There's three reasons. It's been over a year of the new format. The second reason is we are on fire preparing for the event that will top everything we've done up to date, because we're addressing a real core issue. Too many guys are trying to approach. They get better at trying to approach or approaching. That's not how we do it. We attract. For many years, people have been affirming, I'm the prize, they come to me. Well, unless you've been experiencing that before, now is the time to really figure out how it's done so you can have that experience for yourself. And also, with the GSLR on the way in September, it's a celebration all the way there. You know, we're at it nonstop. So I'm here with my spiritual brother who's breaking all world records. I was just having a conversation. I've been stating that to people. I got to work around top people throughout the years in my own growth. One of them was Tony Robbins. And yet, you know, Tony was the greatest reference of really being efficient, thinking outside of the box and creating change and constantly topping it. And yet I must say that was nothing until I started to work with Arash Dibazar. We were just on the phone, so we're on fire and we are ready to take your questions in a moment. Meanwhile, brother, we shared a lot of very cool stuff right now on the phone. So I'll pass it to you with some of the amazing things you were telling me about.
Hello again. I thought it was really cool what just happened. You and I just did a whole podcast right now, and it was so deep and so powerful. And here we are right away. We made a decision to do it again with people listening in. And it goes right along with everything that I've been experiencing. First of all, every time you say something about Tony Robbins and you compare me, I mean, that's like to me, because I started studying Tony Robbins at a very young age. He was like the first guy I ordered his stuff, you know? And not too long ago, it was probably about two months ago, there was a documentary on Netflix about Tony Robbins. And everybody was sleeping, and I was just, I'm just going to click it, you know? Let's see what this documentary is about. And, man, very quickly, I realized how good he is. And I had forgotten how good he is. You know, you can't help so many people and do so many events and not just be a fucking monster. So first of all, shout out to Tony Robbins, because he was the first guy I listened to, and I'm sure he's affected your journey, and me being compared to him is like a really big honor to me. So I love that. Thank you. Outside of that, you know, there's so many possibilities, and that's what I want everybody to start thinking with. So many possibilities and opportunities. For whatever reason, you and I did a call right before this, and when I look at the circumstances of how that happened, where it almost didn't even happen. I was on, then I left the call, then you texted me, then we were back on, and then we finished, and then suddenly you said, you want to do another one right now? So yeah, let's do it, without any real resistance. How cool is it to have this attitude when you're out getting women or making money or trying to create any change in your own life, where you can see there's so many different possibilities that'll get you to even a better goal? You thought you had a good goal until an opportunity opened up and a better goal happened. I don't know if anybody's ever considered this before. You know, you think you're going to talk to that girl, and it's not going well, but instead of resisting it, you start to apply some of these techniques that we're going to be teaching. And that opens up a door to a brand new experience. You find yourself walking back to your room kind of alone, and then suddenly two girls go, what are you doing? And they invite you to a orgy party, which happened to one of our students, because we were, I think, in Las Vegas or L.A., and he was texting me and you and a bunch of other people, I'm at this sex party, anybody want to come? And I was already with a woman at that time. So I think a lot of times, you know, people come to these podcasts and everything, me included, I am also still a student of this art, is because we seek change. But we have to be open to change, and we have to be open to the possibilities that our intention guides our action and guides our destiny. And maybe a new path just opened up in front of you. Example, maybe you were considering going to Global SLR, okay? And now you have an opportunity to go. And you go. You just go. You see, this is the thing. The hesitation is killing you guys. But when Vin said, okay, we have a choice now. You want to do another podcast right now or not? I said, let's do it. That's it. I mean, what is there to think about? There's an opportunity in front of me to teach more. Isn't that what I do? I'm a teacher. Fuck it. I can wait to eat. I was going to go eat. I'll just eat later. Big fucking deal. So everybody just open yourself up to the infinite universes and possibilities that are sitting right in front of you and explore them. Be a little explorer of the mind and reality and see what it's like. Maybe I'm going too deep in this, but we already spoke for an hour, so we're now on level 7. So let's go from here.
Which is perfect.
Vince, I just talked for an hour right now, right before this.
Yeah, so, you know, the hesitation, the thing where it's killing guys, that hesitation, and I'm not just referring to like, oh, I see the girl, should I go, should I not? It's an overall mindset. And because most people around us hesitate, we don't see how it's crippling us. The hesitation, the problem with it is the presupposition that if we do it, if we go for it, we're not going to be fine. And it reinforced that. So it's almost like a self-curse. That's why you must eliminate it and make your decision based on presupposition that by then, whatever may come next, you will be at the next level to be able to handle it. And that's really being fearless and moving forward with the vision and the understanding that whatever may come next, you'll be able to handle it. Now let's talk about the progress you guys are ready to make. Coming strong with this call. Raise the bar each time. Don't be casual. If we're casual, like some guys are casual when they call us, we'd be like, hey, you guys, I don't know. We just thought maybe we could answer a few questions. We don't do that, okay? Right now, we're giving a second hour of our lives, so it better be worth it, and I want this hour to top the prior hour. There's no other way. So, what can we do for you guys tonight? It's a smaller group than on the Monday call. Your response should be great. I'll have more opportunities to ask questions. We're going to go back to dialoguing with Arash. At the same time, voice yourself. What can we do? Who's going with a question tonight?
I'll ask a question. This is Philly Will. I wanted to get both of your opinions on like ground rules for texting. I'm not sure if you guys will like cut a girl off if she doesn't get back to you. Or if you don't care because you already have enough girls, or if a girl never responds to your text, if you'll say something beyond that, like we're done, just to let her know. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd like to answer this first. The further that I go into the exploration of the mind and reality, the more I realize the really only rule is that there is really no rule in this thing, okay? And I know it sounds so fucking zen and out of this world, but that's where my mind is right now, so let's just go with it. What's my rules for texting? Well, it's kind of like I'm exploring a different planet with every woman. So each person gets their own rules, okay? I have this long text right now from 2 days ago, or yesterday, what's today? Tuesday, 2 days ago. And this woman who was a woman of mine for a while, not a girlfriend, but you know, yeah, I hooked up with her and she's a friend of mine, blah, blah, blah. And she texted me, hey, thinking of you, long story short, I said, you're disloyal. Your ex-boyfriend is a faggot for talking shit about me. Fuck him. Fuck you. Don't fucking text me because loyalty is royalty, bitch. And she came back, I'm not, you know, trying to explain herself. And I said, please stop texting me. Just stop texting me. I don't give a shit. Because the moment I see you're not loyal, I'm done. I can't fuck with you anymore. And then she was like, well, if that's what you like, I won't bother you. And next thing you know, she comes back with 3 giant messages of how much she misses me, ended with goodnight with a heart. So I took all of these messages and then I sent them to my 3 girlfriends. And they were like, what the fuck? I said, yeah, exactly. Then today, this woman who is so beautiful, I guarantee if there was a 9 or 10, this is a 9.5. It's one of those girls. I've been with her many times. She wanted to be my girlfriend. I don't want any more girlfriends. But she was rude to me last week on text. And what did the rudeness sound like? It sounded like this. She said, quote, I don't get you right now. I don't want to talk. Goodbye. Okay. I didn't even answer that. She texted me every day after that with a heart, a kiss, blah. She missed one day, then she kept it. I didn't answer nothing. Today she goes, how come you're not answering my text? I was waiting for that. I said, because you're rude and disrespectful. And she was like, and then she comes back with this big old thing. My final thing to her is, fuck off, you idiot. Leave me alone. She comes back with, I love you, with a kiss. I took those messages, screenshot them, sent them to my girlfriends. My girlfriend was like, these girls are psychotic. I said, no, I'm that good. Okay? And that's what's going on here. And so it goes from that level to this one. There's a girl that I've been trying to fucking have her come and meet me somewhere just to hang out for literally 9 months now, maybe 10 months, maybe even longer. I fucking lost track of how long trying to get this fucking hoe to come and fucking help. Just to have fucking, come and have a fucking hot dog or I don't know, anything. Anything. Just fucking, let's go kick rocks. Do whatever you got to do. Okay. Today, I message this woman. She answers right away. Good sign. I say, you free tonight? I'm going to go to wherever this place is, Campbell. Come by for food and drinks. She comes back. I'm training. It's this long. I'm training. I can't right now. You know what I said to her? No big deal. Talk later. For 9 to 10 months, maybe a year, I've been saying the same shit. No big deal. No problem. All good. Enjoy your night. Cool. Be safe. Talk later. Blah, blah, blah. And you would be like, Arash, what is fucking wrong with you? And I'll be like, nothing's fucking wrong with me. This one, I have the desire to keep talking to. And that other fucking disgusting hoe, who's a fucking 9.5, who would ride my dick right now if I called her, I don't want to talk to that bitch right now. And I can't explain why I don't want to talk to the one and to the other I do. Maybe you know. I don't care if I know. But my rule for texting is simple. As long as I desire texting you, I will. When I don't, I won't. Jesus, Arash, calm down. Pass it on.
Text to test. Don't text to get. Because before you get, you need to make sure that it's at a level that's good enough for you. Quit looking at women, putting them on a pedestal. We've been saying that for years. Now it really has to change internally. It's appealing. It's a nice affirmation. But for most guys, the moment the girl is there, there's a division and they forget all about that. We got to go deeper. We're taking you deeper. Okay? Understand also how the feminine works. The feminine will be very destabilized on its own. Distress. Little girls, they're often in distress for little things. So they crave being stabilized on the inside. The masculine, most little girls didn't have a superb example of masculine in front. Either they were ignored or they were like constantly like given whatever they wanted. They become little brats and so on. But they know better at a higher spiritual level. They're craving for stabilization. Okay, so a lot of them, they seek that stabilization. Now, I give you 3 quick things. Number one. Technique. When you text, the new thing that I've been doing, I give just a little and then I let it hang, just like chicks, you know, but I'm a little bit ahead of them. So I start those little text threads, not hoping that it's going to get them to want to meet me. That will happen eventually. And if it doesn't happen, I already have plenty. That's not a problem. So I get it going and then I let it hang. And I'm not playing a game where I keep on thinking about it all day long. Eventually, I text, okay? I'm not thinking about it. I'm forgetting. So, first gold nugget there. Guys, start a thread, send her something, have a reply, and keep it there for a little bit. But it's the mindset behind it, because plenty of guys do that with the obsession of what should I text next? No. That's it. Then, think at that level of an exchange of money. And every text is a dollar,
on your side or her side. And every word also could be in every sentence. And always give a little bit less than her. That's how you create the attraction, you know? When I kiss girls and they give me the signal that that's it, they're ready to be kissed, I let them wait just a little longer. So they take the greatest step. So if you send her a text, you send her a text, okay? And you get a text from her. So you notice she's sending five lines, okay? So that's a dollar. You got to give her 90 cents. So give her four lines. So watch the ratio like that and let it hang. Now, it's funny because this weekend, brother, I love the story, and it confirms something that happened to me this weekend. About 2 years ago, I'm on Hollywood Boulevard, girl from San Jose with a lot of tattoos, fast kiss clothes. I film it, take pictures with number clothes. After that, I was with the client, so she was leaving. Her ride was there going back. Forgot about it. When you save a number, make sure you include the initial of the city, even if you don't plan going there, just in case. So there, I saved her other SG San Jose. Then I forgot about her, and recently I went to visit Arash. I decided to go and partake in a seminar that it was offering. And just before, I pop up my phone, and there's all those SG number. I text. The whole weekend, she was like excuses, and she calls herself a goddess, Goddess Callie. And I go, Callie doesn't have excuses like that. You're not Callie, you're not a goddess. And after that, she texted me, nothing. This time, I was in the area, I was in San Francisco. I didn't text her at all. Now I get a text from her, and watch, there's a lot in that text, okay? In that text, there's three things. She's texting me, she goes, I'm coming to LA, maybe we can hang out and have a great time. I'm going to a sexual healing class, LOL, and I'm looking for a place to stay. So, she's doing that thing where she's making a promise when even nearby she didn't deliver, okay? So, girls will make you little promises like that just to get a little attention. She's tossing then some sexual healing stuff in there, okay? And I bet she's telling all the guys that she's texting about that. And then she wants a place to stay. Women always want something. I heard that from Arash the other night, okay? And so I reply. I say, first, I'm not a fucking hotel. Second, if you really need sexual healing, I am a sexual healer. And third, I need you if I be around. And she replies, not a hotel? What do you mean? You are a sexual healer? What do you mean? And I go, what do you mean? What do I mean? It's pretty fucking simple. A hotel? And yes, I'm a sexual healer. And I do, and if it is mind-blowing, if the sex is mind-blowing, it comes with brief lodging. And then after that, she goes, oh, I'm going to stay with my friend at the beach. And I reply right away. I say, wonderful. I'm probably not going to be in town. I'll probably be in Europe by then. Okay. And then she goes, oh, ciao, goodbye. And with a tone of ciao means it's over. And then more kisses and more kissing faces and little hearts than ever. So she's craving to be tamed down. She's not interesting enough. And gentlemen, at some point for my trainers in training, I did a class where it was called Special Forces. It was only the guys who showed a lot of progress. I said, I will not answer your questions about texting until you reach a ratio of getting at least 20 to 30 new numbers a week. Because when you have 20 to 30 new numbers, what you hope you will get by not being needy and so on is going to happen by itself. So assignment number one, 20 to 30 numbers. So next question, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's Mitch from Baltimore. How you guys doing?
Mitch.
All right. The question I have for today. Arash, you did a video, a really good video, defending pickup, and I really appreciated it. I'd appreciate both of you guys talking about is, you did it from your standpoint, which is great. Now, what I've personally had occur is people attack me for doing this art. And several of them have been more effective than I am currently at meeting women and being in relationships. Obviously, they ain't more effective than you guys. But from my standpoint, or from the standpoint of a newbie who would experience the same thing, if you were them or me in that case, what would you say?
What is the specifics that they have said? Because then I can easily answer it. What is it they've said that's been effective? So they get more women. Okay, but how are they attacking? What is the nature of the attack or the statement?
Let's see. A couple in particular that I remember is pickup is just manipulation. You're treating women like objects. That was one. Another was a very nasty thing about Vince, said he looks like a clown. Let's see, but mainly about the fact that it's very misogynistic.
Okay, so that's their attack. That is misogynistic.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's a common attack, right? That's something that people say. So, personally, let's take it like this. See, misogynistic is a word created by a feminist. It doesn't exist, just like a feminist doesn't exist. Misogynistic, what? What is the definition of misogynistic? Can you give me the definition? What would it be?
Are you asking me to give you a definition?
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, it's a word that seems to be being attacked with, and I think it's a made-up word. So what does it mean to be misogynistic? I'm just curious.
To me, misogynistic means that you look at women as inferior and second class, and that you think that you're above them and that you have a right to their bodies.
Okay.
So they don't have a choice. You're trying to take them over. They don't have any say. You look at them as inferior.
Okay. So only the last part of that statement to me would be something I would disagree with, which is I have a right to their bodies. No, it's a mutual thing. I don't believe in rape at all. So, you know, that's why I seduce and that's why I pick up. So the woman willingly spreads her legs. Outside of that statement, if the definition of misogynistic is what you said, women being inferior, that I'm manipulating to get them, I would agree 100% with that, all of that. So if that's what they're saying that I'm doing, I would say, yeah, I'm totally doing that. And I would say, you're ignorant in your word of misogynistic. But if you think that I think that women are inferior to me, I absolutely think they are in many, many ways. I can prove it 1,000 ways. They're definitely superior in giving birth because I cannot do that. But nature's provided every other way. I believe in that. Now, if you're a Christian, you say, Christ believes in that. If you're, you know, if you're a Muslim, you go, the Quran believes in that. Everywhere you go, it's the actual belief. Okay, the only people who don't believe that are the people who pretend like it's not true, which is feminists who say men and women are equal. Absolutely not. In no way, shape, form, any possible way are we equal. Now, are there women who, by virtue of certain genetics and skill, can beat many men in fighting? Yeah, I have a few friends of mine who are like that. But that is the rarity, okay? It just doesn't work like that. And so what you have is you have haters who are just using that to attack. It wouldn't work on me. The word misogynistic is a made-up word. It just doesn't make sense. So what would I do if I were you? I wouldn't be around those people, honestly. I mean, that's people that are attacking. It sounds like they're attacking pickup, but they're attacking your character. They're attacking you. And, you know, and if somebody says to me, you know, Vince looks like this or I look like that, it's not like we haven't heard that before. It's not like we don't know what look like when we leave the fucking house, obviously, right? When I hear things like that, I go after them pretty hardcore, actually. You know, pretty hardcore because, you know, it's just, let's say you're my friend. Let's say you and I are very good friends. And then you see that I'm really good friends with somebody and that I say, or they're my teacher and I'm saying they've changed my life and I'm so serious. And then you as my friend are going to attack that person. Well, I would never do that to a friend of mine, right? The way I would approach a friend, if I thought that somebody that we're talking to or learning from was kind of shady, I would just ask them, hey, what's up with that guy? Tell me, what do you know? Because, you know, like the way he looks kind of is different to me or freaks me out. Tell me what you know. And then I would listen. I mean, that's how friends are actually concerned about friends. They don't attack friends. Like, I don't attack my friends. This is something that I've been teaching the world for so long. You guys have wrong definitions. So these are just random people in your life who are haters. And the moment you label them as a hater, which is what they are, then you could treat them like a hater. And I'm very clear in my policy of haters. Zero tolerance. I don't deal with them unless they make me famous. And other than that, I don't deal with them.
I'm so happy you brought this up, Mitchell. I had an interesting event the other day. I came back from San Francisco. There was a burst of information within me. And a guy came because he wanted to secure his spot for the Vortex. He's local. And he said, okay, can I quickly come and put something to guarantee my spot at the Vortex? As we arrive, I chat briefly. And it's been a long drive, but the information is coming. The guy starts to tell me, hey, by the way, would you have any recommendation for linguistics? Linguistics is the semantic syntax of words, how you use words to impact and how words impact you. Okay? In that moment, I thought, okay, the guy is not making the connection because he just started to study with me. He doesn't know that. Not to claim the monopole on it, and yet Arash and I, it's all linguistics. So he is right there, and I go, I'm going to do something special for this guy. I'm going to make him aware of how much he's receiving in terms of linguistics. And I'm going to give him a crash course, and for like 10 minutes, I'm going to get him to a level of linguistics. I used to teach hypnosis at colleges, and at first I had 6 months. For the class, and then the budget went down, and then it went from 6 months to teach people hypnosis to 3 hours. So I said, I want to deliver. So I condensed it. It's one of my hobby, you know, to take information that would take a long time to really integrate and to deliver it in a way that the person gets it. Sure enough, the guy starts to get it. Some random guy passes, go, hey, Vince Calvin, blah, blah, blah. And the guy starts like that. He starts with, well, you know, I used to do pickup, and I'm looking at a guy that's in his mid-20s, and I can tell he sounds like an 80-year-old. If you have an 80-year-old that comes to you and said, I used to, okay, you would encourage him to know you can still, at any age, do something. Don't be like the has-been telling a story. But this guy is like in his mid-20s, and I'm like, what pickup do you do today? Now, here's what's interesting. That guy was, in my presence, getting a random spontaneous crash course on linguistics right here in front of him. And this random guy comes, and the one thing I told him, you can learn from this guy. The guy was pretty good at AIM-arguing. And the guy was talking to the student as if he was superior to the student. And the student, in many ways, way superior, even though the guy is kind of just starting. But I've observed the student kind of be enticed and let somebody mislead them for a period of time. So then I told the student, I said, you know what? You got to stand guard at the door of your mind. It's your life. Even faces and places will do weird thing to you if you don't pay attention. You start walking around and you're feeling good, and one face passes, you don't even know them, you don't even say anything, and they look at you a little weird. And then they take a little bit of your day if you don't pay attention, soon making you almost feel wrong because you were feeling good. So life is not all like listen to everybody. No. Most people, they listen to the people they should listen to the least, and they don't listen enough when there's really a source of valid information. So number one, question Mitchell. I totally understand it, and it's also a reflection that you do need to answer that question, not to somebody else, to you. And that will accelerate your progress, and you will get many more women than those guys. Because obviously you are not yet fully aware of it yourself, how bad you want it, and ready. So guys, you need to dust yourself off. Guys come a little bit to pick up from the perspective of they cross the entire fucking desert and then they see a little booth where they sell water. And by the time they arrive, they're like, water, water. So you got to come to this thing and say, I'm getting this thing now. I know why I'm here. I'm not going to apologize for it because it's my life. It's my cock. It's my balls. And constantly reaffirm it within you. How do we come up with what we come up with. It's an inside job at first. And then when people start, first, for me, I want to put into perspective, okay? I like live and let live. When a person comes into our life and they can detect that we have something that we like, unless we're telling them, hey, I just started shooting up, look at my needle, okay? But they can tell we have something that we like. It's a truly non-intelligent thing to start to toss something detrimental. If right now I saw somebody and they were like, man, I picked up golf or something that I really wouldn't understand, that that's the last thing on the planet that I would do. And I see them all excited. I would say, good for you. I would not question it because I could say, this is a human being that's following something. Okay? So the simple fact that a person dares to come and invade your privacy, your reality, to question your own choices, the place where you're responsible for it is to even listen to the beginning of the sentence. And that comes from the place of you need to discern and you need to stand guard. And there's certain things that the moment you hear the beginning of a sentence, if you're really forced there, it's a professional situation and you don't want to risk your position, or it's a family thing and you don't want to offend your aunt because she brought that person or brought that person, and you don't want to create a scene in front of your family, in your own mind go, what a bunch of crap, I'm not hearing anything, and sing a song as loud as you can in your own mind while you're smiling. Oh, really interesting. Okay? But right there, you cannot even, you are dishonoring yourself. So when people start to go, oh yeah, that thing, you go, oh. If you want to be very polite, which you are overly at times in the wrong context, you go, hey, listen, I appreciate it. We all have an opinion. I remember a lot of motivational speakers, they used to say opinions are like buttholes. We all have one. That doesn't mean you're going to go put it in the face of people. So stop it sooner. You are being overly polite when the person is the absolute opposite. At a more advanced level, you also want to detect a presence much greater within the person presenting what they told you than what they're accusing. When people accuse, when say that's bad and so on, observe the presence much greater. Today, I was at a little spiritual gathering and some lady starts to ramble about fucking ego. I'm there, I'm having a great time, and I'm wearing my Britney Spears hat that I got in Las Vegas that says work, bitch. So it's got the word bitch on it. Some women are so fucking sensitive that because they see the word bitch, they take it personally. Okay? Like us guys, if we saw somebody with a t-shirt saying asshole, we take it personally. That's ridiculous. And that woman is like, we got to drop the ego if you really want to work spiritually. And then I see her eyes and she didn't say anything. She didn't have to say anything. And I saw the judgment in her eyes because they were the letters on my hat saying bitch. And she wouldn't even say, instead of just saying your hat, what is it? And it's a woman singing in front of, I don't know how many women that came up with a song saying, work, bitch, which is to encourage women to get their shit together. That she didn't know. So in that moment, I didn't voice it because it was not my priority and outcome. But notice, even if a guy was to wear a hat and it says bitch on it and it's directed towards women, for a person to just observe another human being and become judgmental within, that is a much further disgusting act than the simple one of making a statement. So with any haters or anything like this, find all the ways in which it is far, even if there was a touch of something that they're saying, they are far more, and that's why they focus on that, and that's why they talk about that. And you cannot have people like that around you. It'd be like the day you're a father, you have people who go around you and you go, oh, you know, I don't know about your father. They go around your children. You wouldn't let that. So you need to protect yourself a little bit more, and you don't need a big story. Next time somebody starts like, oh, we don't even need to talk about it. And if they go, yes, we need to talk about it, then for every new word they add after that, they're reaffirming that you cannot have people like that around you. And me, I defend sophistication and elegance, unless it is very, very harmful immediately to the person in front, to live and let live. And if you witness a human being that's onto something, even if it's not your thing, you should at least honor, if you care for them, the fact that they're making that choice. And the simple fact that it's one thing, you know, to take a stand. If those people were to say, we're going to teach something, and they go and they take a stand. But to go around and voice opinions unsolicited to human beings when there's no purpose of teaching or helping or really any of that. Okay? So you got me going, but Mitchell and everybody, guys, don't let it even come close to you and don't let it even come from within you. Right now, you've been on the fence. Chicks are on the fence. You cannot be on the fence. Are you doing this speak of thing or not? If you're doing it, you don't even need to defend it. You need to absorb it, be it, live it, so you can pass it on. What's the next question? Talking about the presence of something. One thing that you guys really dislike for women is when they go silent on you. I love silence myself. But make sure that when it comes to your progress, you don't do the first thing that you most dislike women doing. Okay? Which is, we were talking about that with Rush. A lot of guys, their behavior towards the learning is exactly a match of the behavior they most dislike from women. The girl say, yeah, I'll come tonight. I'll see you. And then she comes up with an excuse. How many guys do that with their learning? Yeah. And they say, oh, I want to study with you. Can you help me with that? You go, great. We got this. We got that. Oh, yeah, well, I'll see you. You know, I'll call you back when I'm ready. So you were not ready. Who's got the next question, gentlemen? If not, I pass it to Rush. It's a small amount of callers, so one more opportunity for a question. If not, I will pass it to Rush to take it wherever you see suited, brother.
Well, if nobody's going to ask, I'm going to ask you another question, if that's okay.
Yes, of course, Mitchell, please.
Okay, it's completely unrelated. Saturday, great experience. I go to a vegan festival. I meet a girl who was dating a friend of mine. She found her very interesting. And spontaneously, we're hanging out for about a half hour. I was able to lead her, to pull her to different places. We were talking. She was laughing. After a while, though, even though we were discussing observations, discussing our lives, what we're up to, pointing out different things at the event, eventually it just seemed to fizzle out. And I left it at, hey, I'll see you in the near future, watch my thing on Lisa Ling, and then get back to me, what you think. My question is, what can I do to keep conversations perpetually or to just to extend them longer beyond a half hour, well, perpetually, and to really get her to crave me and to really get her to be just juiced to see me again if there is an interruption, if she has to go, and if, you know, after a while?
It's the same answer that I give all the time. And I'll go over it again because I think it's a vital answer. Women react to value, nothing else. Nothing else. She would have to have a reason to go out with you again. That is a better reason than everything else she's able to do that day. Now, the more you, this is seduction, takes a long time. You study your target. Okay, Robert Greene's book, The Art of Seduction, is a good reference to this. You study your target, and the more you know about her, the more you can seduce her. It's not an overnight thing. Now, when you're out, of course, I'm bouncing girls left and right and having them come over, hang out and things like that. So it's just done faster. But if I really want somebody, like really make, create a relationship, we said her craving you, you're either going to do that with a tremendous amount of value. Like, for example, you're going to go to a country concert. She loves country music. And you have an extra ticket for backstage. Chances are very high she's going to want to hang out with you. You know, very high. If she loves country music. I have been around girls who just were not seem to they weren't responding to me. This is recent, by the way, guys. These pretty girls, they were reacting to me, but they weren't giving me the right reaction. And they were pretty. I'm designed to get pretty women, and something just wasn't fucking clicking in this one venue that I am frequent now. And one day I fucking show up and this guy goes, Arash. And I'm like, oh, hey, I'm like, probably a fan, I don't know. And I said, do I know you from somewhere? He goes, so-and-so. I'm like, my God, from high school? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit, sit down, dude. So this guy sits down. To make this story short. And then these same girls in the same venue are walking up to him, hugging him. Hey! Hugging him real tight, smiling, playing with their hair. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, what the fuck? So I'm like, how do you know these girls? He's like, I hang out with them sometimes. I'm like, you do? I need to hang out with you. He goes, no, I need to hang out with you, man. I've been watching you on Facebook. I'm like, okay, I get it. I go, but bro, you know, like these girls are actually coming on to you. I said, what the fuck am I missing here? He starts laughing. A little bit of time passes. I see a girl come by, and he gives her something. And then it dawns on me. I said, are you giving these girls coke? And he says, yeah, I'm their supplier. I'm like, these fucking hoes, are you kidding me? I know this kind of woman. I have seen this kind of woman before. I've seen two of the most beautiful women I've ever seen blow a fucking guy next to me who looked like a fucking Pumbaa from Lion King, like a fucking warthog. Well, I was there trying to get these fucking girls to notice me. And they blew him in the fucking club next to me, and it blew my mind to see what the fuck is happening. Then they followed us to the house, and they went and they fucked him while I started to game other people. And that night, I learned something. Those are coke whores. And they will fuck anything for some coke. And I am not the guy who gives them coke or does coke. So I don't have the fucking value. I can have incredible conversation. I can put them on a fucking billboard. But those bitches would switch all of that for one fucking bump in the nose. And so, brother, that's what they respond to is value. If you have it, they'll give you time, energy, and everything else. If you don't have the value they want, I swear to God, you could fucking be Jesus Christ or Buddha walking the earth. Nobody gives a shit. You'd be like, I'm sorry, don't talk to me. I don't like long hair. I know you're Jesus and everything, but right now I'm kind of busy because I got school tomorrow. But if you give her what she wants, whether that's whatever the fuck it is, she's yours.
That's great stuff, Arash. Thank you for the room.
And value starts within. Value starts with how much do you value yourself. And you must value yourself enough to eliminate certain things that are not pickup. If we had a big container, and on one hand we pour more pure water, pH 10, organic, every best possible thing that could be found with water that could be made really good water. But at the same time, we keep on pouring a little poison on the other side. Okay? It doesn't matter how much water we put, we got to stop putting poison in it. There's no point otherwise. So the poison, okay? It's important that we recognize it. It takes time to recognize. That's why if I were you guys, I would enter every one of those calls. Every time it's on with a stronger interest for what you are not seeing yet, and to create a greater connection between what you already have and how it can help you. There are certain things you must eliminate, okay? If you step into a little bit of dog shit, and then you go and you wash everything except your shoes, and you take a bath and so on, and you go and you put on back the same old shoes that still have the dry dog shit underneath, no, it's got to be removed. So, gentlemen, it is not pick up to arrive somewhere, see one girl, and think maybe that girl. You're going to drain and exhaust yourself, and you're devaluating yourself. And then, of course, from that place, just the same way if you start to make tighter and tighter, it becomes harder and harder to breathe. That's why you run out of things to say, because you like binding yourself. Now, if you see a girl when you arrive somewhere, you go and you say, you're my friend. Hey, you're dating my friend. You guys still dating? Oh, otherwise I would flirt with you. I'm probably going to flirt with you just a little bit more to find out what her response is, because you also still have to know that women, they can easily spend an entire afternoon with a guy and then go get fucked somewhere and tell the guy they're fucking, oh, I met this nice guy this afternoon. So spending time is absolutely fucking irrelevant. Okay? You can spend a lot of time or very little time. It's got nothing to do with value. So
The challenge for you, it doesn't reside in that interaction, that girl, or how do I continue, or any of that. The challenge is that you're carrying residues of times that were prior to pickup. When you would arrive somewhere, and suddenly there would be a girl, and you start to think, oh, maybe that girl. So don't do that anymore. That's simple. When you arrive, you go, hey, there's that chick. And then start to look for other girls, and then take that girl with you, and say, ah, oh, I wanted to go see over there. And you stay with yourself. And if for whatever reason doesn't follow, there's plenty other ones. But if you start with your agenda in your head and you think maybe her, and you already don't have a supreme candidate to start with, okay, then it becomes very difficult. So you've heard that before. It is understandable that you need to hear certain things. There are lessons in my life that presented themselves 30, 40 years ago, Mitchell, that I'm only now getting. So it's part of the life journey, but at the same time, accelerate that. And know that, for example, if somebody is, their goal is to become very wealthy and their habit is, okay, if they deposit $100, they withdraw $120. It doesn't matter. When they deposit $1 million, they'll take $200,000 extra and they'll be $200,000 in debt. Okay. So you can no longer carry that, there's that one girl. The first thing you do, I told you already, when you arrive in those situations, you chat a little bit here, chat a little bit there. And if there happens to be one girl, the first thing that you do, you slow down. You say, well, see her, that's where she's going to go. You're testing her and you operate fast and higher value. It's time and time again, more and more students are witnessing it in Vegas. The girl is there, I'm kissing her and so on. Suddenly that's interrupted because a porn star sits her face, sits her pussy on my face. I'm still tasting like pussy because she really rubbed her pussy on my face. I go back, the other girl, you would think, oh my God, she's gone. No, she's kissing me more. And it's like that all the time on Saturday evening. Suddenly I have girls coming and there's girls over there. So suddenly there's like those seven Mexican girls. And it's a big group, so it's tough to manage. And guess when there's a spark and a spike? Every time that I start to think, oh, there's those girls, and I give them a little too much attention, it fucking dies off. Anytime that some other girl goes and wants to take a picture with me or I go to other girl, those bitches follow me around and give me more. Okay? So in that moment, you cannot be Mitchell the desperate guy. That's first girl. And take one thing from tonight. Do no longer operate from I arrive and there's that one girl. And when you're going to pay attention to that and the first little sign of that, you go, no, 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 not today. I'm Mr. Mitchell and that's not how I operate and that's not how I run my game. And own that and correct that. And don't worry so much about other details after that because they're more in place when you come from that other place. Value is when you are the guarantee, she's the possibility. Not backwards, gentlemen. Real value is when you're the guarantee. Your guarantee will always be there for you. There happen to be a chick that just passes for a brief moment in time, even if you spend an hour out of your entire life with her. For her, she's a possibility. It's possible that she may get some of you. And that's the core of value. And that you don't need anything but the awareness to affirm that. And then you check in. And during the vortex, I'm going to give you a series of exercises that are surreal. They're simple assessment, almost like measurement device to check in. Are you starting to be more inclined towards her, her presence, or you? And then you will be equipped with coming back to me, both in the way you look at women, in the way you places, in the way you carry, stand, in the way you sit, in the way you interact, all the way, even into the way you kiss, even into the way you are in bed. See? For the gravitation to be towards you. If you're a guy and you hope you're going to bed her and you get close to a bedroom and someplace where you guys can be private to take your clothes off, you got to remember that that same girl, she could be anywhere in the world if she's decent looking and she doesn't need to be even that decent looking. I don't know many fat girls that don't eventually get fucked if they really want to. There's some really big whores that are really nasty looking and they get shitloads of sex from desperate guys that they still control even though they're ugly. Then It wouldn't take much for her to say, anybody wants to fuck me? Anybody wants to buy me a drink? Anybody, I need a place to stay. Anybody, is there someone that wants to take me to a vacation place? I always get to Hawaii. So when you arrive, you are obsessing about, oh, how do I fuck her? And her, she knows, well, I could very well walk out of this place, go, anybody wants to fuck me? And some guys would. You gotta reverse that. You gotta be the one. I don't know. I'm not sure. Is it okay to have her in my place? When girls come to my place, first thing, laptop, wallet, and all of that goes, because I don't know them. I don't trust those things. And from that place, then the gravitation is greater, because at the same time, I'm super sexy, super fun, super pleasant, and super entertaining. But I see that even for me, it disappears a little bit if I give in just a touch with making a girl a little too special. But I catch it. And I change it. Speaking of the vortex, gentlemen, anybody on the line, the event is like anything. We have a mock setup of a bar, chairs, table, very spacious. It's a lounge. It's empty. It's for us during the day to learn how to position yourself, enter the place, the angles, where to be, to really work a room and to get to be the center of the attention. After that, we relocate the best location where we're already inside the party. We don't have to go somewhere. It's there. We have a pool view cabana, and we are going to teach you how to really be the attraction. Now, in person, there's very few spots left, and we're about to boost the price. Anybody on this call right now who wants to come in person, act fast, we'll still honor the 300, okay? And anybody who's at home and will not make the trip this time around, you can watch the live stream. And with all live streams, we always give a recording. Okay? And that, we give it to you for $120 if you catch it on time or state you were on the call. So act on it. I know that there's two of you guys that haven't heard you speak, but I recognize your number that are on the live stream already. Heads up, the live stream, anywhere else you look for link and so on, is going to go up to 500 and in-person 500 as well. Okay? So if you want to be there with us and drill that and come with a really open mind, come with an open mind. So we have time for one last question, and then that'll be the end of this call. Or if no question, we'll wrap it up with that, and I'll pass it to Arash in conclusion. In terms of question, I'm counting backwards to three. If by the time I say the number one, there's no question, then I'll pass it to Arash to conclude, and we'll see you the next time around. Three, two, one, no question. Ah? Speak up.
All right.
How do you stay focused when you're lazy? How do you stay focused when you're lazy?
This is that question. I always make fun of this question. So funny to still ask it. How do you say, you really don't, okay? So if your goals aren't big enough to inspire you, if laziness is enough to stop you, then you don't deserve that goal. Think about it, okay? Think about how many people want to be motivated right now to study some sort of science, get some kind of maybe degree, accomplish some kind of a goal physically, mentally. And everybody starts tonight, okay? And we visit again in 3 months, and we see a few people have dropped out, and we visit in another 3 months, and 5 years later, there's one or two that are still energized doing that activity. And those people are guaranteed results. Think why? Because they stuck it out. So this is nature's way of weeding out anybody who actually wouldn't be good enough to get that thing. So, for example, let's say you ask me, and I'm not saying this to you, but this is an example. You say, how do I stay motivated to want to keep studying about women and going out? Well, if you're already not motivated enough to do that, right, then at some point, even if I gave you motivation, you would lose motivation again, and so you would be like a fake mating guy in the big universal scheme. Whereas people like this, who've been doing this over 20 years, are still every fucking day getting out there meeting a woman. Now, if I was Venus, the goddess of fucking female energy, I would want to
reward Finch for his hard work, and I would want him to pass on his genes to the future generation, because I don't want a bunch of lazy human beings running around. So if you're not motivated by your own goals, and if you're too lazy, either switch goals, or just realize, no matter what kind of motivation anybody gives you, you're not going to get it. That's my answer. That's the truth.
Oh, so you don't think about it, you just go, just do it.
Yeah, hey, check it out. Very simple. It's funny because you're questioning your focus. You're not questioning your laziness. Change that relationship. Yeah. How do you stay lazy? You are. Even if indeed you are lazy, then you already have focus. Because it takes being focused on being lazy to be able to stay lazy. Because if indeed you have a problem focusing, your laziness would fade. You'd be lazy for a little bit, and then you would defocus, and you would be motivated, and then you would be like amused and so on. So you already know how to focus, right? You need to know that.
That is the fucking truth. Like, I've never heard anyone say that shit.
I'm not sure what you're saying, because you speak very quietly, and we need to wrap up the call, but I'm going to give you just one more thing. You have it backwards. You think that the solution to your laziness is to develop something known as focus, and you presuppose you don't already have it when we have just determined that it's false because you're very focused on your laziness. Focus is omnipresent. Even if a person, you see their face and they're like, that's a form of focus. The opposite of focus is death. If you're alive, you're focused. You're probably focused on the wrong thing. So you need to refocus, defocus from the other things. Focus is inevitable. Motivation is inevitable. Everybody on the planet is motivated because everybody is moving in a certain direction. For some, it's called a fucking bed, and they find a motivation to stay in that bed. Some, it's like putting more pounds after more pounds after more pounds. For some, it's a motivation. Take a guy from a beautiful place who lives in a beautiful mansion, say, stay on the fucking street tonight. And tomorrow night, after 2-3 days, they'd be, no, I can't. I want to come back to my home. It takes a lot of motivation to stay on the street. Motivation is everywhere. But here's what it is. If you want that kind of motivation that moves you in the direction of your goal, you need to realize you simply had it backwards. It's motion. And motion, when you don't feel it, you ever feel like you slept on your hand and you wake up and your arm is numb? Sometimes it's numb a little bit, you move and it's okay. You ever had it where your arm is not fucking moving, and for a split second you get scared? And you move your arm with your other hand and it's all limp and loose, and it doesn't come back right away. What do? You shake it. What would be the mistake? To go, oh, my arm is not moving, and keep it like that. I don't know what would happen if a person was to not move their arm when it's numb for weeks at a time. That probably would be pretty fucking nasty. They probably would have to cut their arm after a while. So you had it backwards. What you need is motion. Move. But I know it's difficult. Because motion, when you don't know, you're not sure, and you don't feel like it. So get yourself going. Yeah, it's simple. Go outdoor. Take a step. Take steps. And when you feel like, oh, I'm taking enough steps, that's when you got to take steps. You do that. You know, that was the first thing I offered in motivation. When I first came to America, I finished with this. I didn't know English. And I didn't know English. No, if you're going to think, then think the right thing. But don't ask a question and think while you're getting an answer. That's another stupid thing to not do. Okay. With all due respect to you, think about it. Okay. Think about it. You don't ask halfway through the answer. Okay, when somebody tells you, I conclude with this, because that's powerful. I couldn't speak English very well. I didn't know to, not that I couldn't. And the easy way to learn was commercials. And there was that commercial for Saks Fifth Avenue that was saying what the difference a day makes, and the difference is you. And that's when I realized you can change within 24 hours. If right now after this call, you are at a place where you could go and sit down and continue with, oh, how do you get motivated? Or you can take a step and then another step and another step. In 24 hours, you look back at how you were thinking. If you do it well, and you'll be like, oh, okay, I got it. All right, gentlemen. Thank you, my brother.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. We're in 2 hours with a rush. Only a rush and I would do things like this. And in the meantime, everyone, come to the vortex. Okay? Good night. Thank you, my brother.
You've been listening to The Real Kings of Pickup with Vince Hollywood Kelvin and Arash Motherfucking Debazar. Brought to you by www.globalslr.com. Call live every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to get your questions answered.
Just dial 701-801-1220.
Then enter 129-779-160.
Followed by the pound key.
To get your free pickup starter kit, go to www.seductioncoaching.com now. And remember, stay sexy.